President Trump is starting to face some pushback on several fronts, including from within his own party. To discuss that and more, we turn now to the analysis of our Politics Monday duo. That is Amy Walter of The Cook Political Report with Amy Walter and Tamara Keith of NPR. Great to see you both.
Good to be here.
So let's talk about Liz Landers' reporting earlier on that push Republicans are making in Indiana for redistricting. Tam, as you well know, the president has been very vocal about it. He's basically strong-armed this effort, threatened political retribution. But as Liz reported, Republicans there aren't even sure that they have the vote. So what's at stake for the president and Republicans there?
Well, there's a lot at stake for the president. He does not want to lose the House next year. And as we saw in a series of off-year and special elections that we've seen this year, Democrats have outperformed by about 13 points. If you take all of the Republicans that won by less than 13 points, that's a lot of Republicans in the House. So there's a very real problem. This is part of why President Trump is trying to sort of change the rules of the game. But it also creates challenges. When you change the lines in the middle of the decade, you're messing up districts for incumbents. And some people don't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. You're also taking really safe seats and making them somewhat less safe so that you can, in theory, get more seats. And it also then set off what we've seen in California. There's now talk in Virginia about redrawing the lines there once Abigail Spanberger gets into office in January. So there is... essentially, by opening this Pandora's box, Now it's not clear that the president actually comes out that far ahead.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what happens. Is in our calculations at the Cook Political Report, even if the Indiana map passed, after all of this and all of the push by Republicans and the president to draw more seats, Republicans are likely to net no more than two seats. If Indiana doesn't pass, then it's even. It's basically a wash. Mm-hmm. So to me, the issue isn't so much of how desperate he is to get two more seats. It was much more about to show that he still is in charge, that this idea that people are going to push back on him, if they do, there will be consequences. Hence the Truth Social post, the threats to be primaried, mm-hmm. all the heavy pressure is really, I think, much more about the president, one, needing a win psychologically much more than what he needs to keep control of the House, and two, to send a signal to other Republicans that if they stray from the president's wishes, there will be consequences for that.
Speaking of Republicans who strayed from the president's wishes, rather, we saw Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene speak out for the first time since saying she will step down from office in a 60 Minutes interview. Tam, as you know, she's gone from a MAGA loyalist to now publicly breaking with the president. She spoke in that interview about the difference between how some of her Republican colleagues speak about the president behind closed doors versus in public. Take a listen.
Behind the scenes, do they talk differently?
Yes.
How?
It would shock people.
Well, let's shock people.
Okay. I watched many of my colleagues go from making fun of him, making fun of how he talks, making fun of me constantly for supporting him, to when he won the primary in 2024, they all started, excuse my language, Leslie, kissing his and decided to put on a MAGA hat for the first time.
Tam, as you know, hours after that aired, President Trump railed against Green on Truth Social, calling her a rotten apple and a dumb person. How are you looking at all this?
And traitor Green. So this is a story as old as time, or as long as Trump has been on the political stage. You've heard Republicans talk about how privately it's different than what people say publicly. Mm. And she's taken it out into the open. She is openly expressing frustration with him. And that is leading to him lashing out. She says that she's gotten threats and all of these other things that many people have experienced, doxing and swatting and all of these things that many people involved in politics who've gotten on the wrong side of Donald Trump have experienced. She decided just sort of like pull the parachute and quit Congress early, which actually creates far more problems for the president and his party in the House than if she stuck around and took the beating and had a primary and won or lost or whatever. So in a way, she's actually hurting him more by leaving Congress than by staying there.
How do you see this playing out?
I thought also it was interesting in this interview when Leslie Stahl pushed her on, do you consider yourself a MAGA Republican? She said, I consider myself an America First candidate. And what's going to be fascinating, especially as we start to get post-midterms and we start talking about the presidential race and who's going to run for president in 2028, you can see this possibility of there being two lanes. Who's the MAGA president, presidential candidate, i.e. the person who maybe has Trump's blessing, and who's going to try to run in a different lane, perhaps one that they call America First or something. So it's not going to be an anti-Trump lane as much as it's going to be something that looks not as aligned with Donald Trump himself or some of his policies.
Tam, in terms of what we've seen from the president when it comes to messaging on one of the biggest issues for voters, that is affordability, you now have him going to Pennsylvania tomorrow to speak about this. The whole affordability concerns is something President Trump has called a fake narrative created by Democrats. There was a recent poll from Fox News, I should point to, that says 46% of voters say the president's economic policies have hurt them. 15% say they have helped them. How do you look at the president's decision to speak on this now?
This is long overdue. In fact, President Trump has held a lot of events at the White House where he's held court in the cabinet room or the Oval Office and taken questions on a wide range of things. But he and his administration officials have gone out on the road, but nobody notices because President Trump takes all the attention and all the oxygen. But President Trump himself, I went back through his travel throughout this year as president. He has done less than half a dozen messaging-related events. Only a couple of those have been about the economy in terms of going out on the road, selling his policies to the American people, going into a swing state and a swing district, which is what he's doing tomorrow. He's done so little of that. He's been to more sporting events than he's held events to sell his policies on the economy or sell the one big beautiful bill out in the country. And so this is a shift. A senior White House official tells me there will be much more of this, but they've been telling me that for a month. So we will see what gets added and where President Trump is welcome, because with his approval rating as underwater as it is, there will likely come a time when there are Republicans who are in difficult seats who say, thank you so much. I would love to not have you be here.
Amy?
Well, and underlying all of it is this challenge that, just as we saw with this piece on soybeans, that his policies themselves, voters believe, are causing a rise in prices. So it's not just that they believe that he, as president, has been doing certain things or not doing certain things. It's that the one thing that is so important to the president, this issue of tariffs, is a big weight. And without that weight, or unless that weight is lessened, it's going to be very hard to sell affordability.
Amy Walter, Tamara Keith, always great to see you both. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.